Hi, my name is Suhail Siddiqui, and welcome to Office Hours with Dorm Room Fun. Each week, we'll be talking to some of the brightest minds in business, venture, and tech. From CPGs to NFTs, we got you covered. For new episodes, make sure you subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And for more information on Dorm Room Fun, connect with us on social or go to dormroomfun.com. What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the Dorm Room Fun podcast. This is your host, Suhail Siddiqui. Hope y'all are thriving and vibing today. Before we get into the episode, obviously, it's a special one, part of our five-part series for various tracks here at Dorm Room Fun. My co-hosts, Andrew and Daniel, almost forgot his name. Andrew and Daniel, they worked on the first three, which were Female Investors, Prism, and the Diversity Blueprint track. And then I will be covering the PhD track, which we're covering today, as well as a female founder. But speaking of today, we have two great guests, Chloe Lopez-Lee and David Dalal. Am I pronouncing you guys' name right?
Yes.
David, you too?
Yep.
All right, perfect. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thanks so much. We're really excited to be here and tell the world about PhD
track. Yeah, thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You're too kind. Normally, I give the introduction to the guests, but as I covered with Chloe earlier, you guys just had like a laundry list of accomplishments on your LinkedIn. So I'm going to hand that over to you guys, Chloe, if you want to start ladies first with your guys' experience and what you've been working on.
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much. So I'm in the fourth year of my neuroscience PhD, which has been a lot of fun. I do work specifically in Alzheimer's disease and multiple sclerosis, looking at sex differences. So both are neurodegenerative diseases where you see that, you know, women are more vulnerable than men. And we also see some interesting differences in disease progression and pathology. So that's the fun stuff that I do in addition to being at DRF. And I'll pass it over to David.
Yeah, and I'm David, also in my fourth year of my PhD. I'm currently doing a PhD in biomedical engineering, but I'm actually working in a neuroscience lab down at the Yale School of Medicine. Also started a startup back in undergrad called Flow, which is in clean tech, which I've been working on for the last couple of years now. So continue to work on that. And was one of the founders of the PhD track back with Anand Lalwani from who's a Stanford PhD who's graduating this year. Back last year, actually.
Awesome. So let's get right into the episode. I'm curious, you know, Dorm Room Fun, a lot of entrepreneurial folks are involved. And it seems like in the era we live in, the less schooling you have, the better. It's like, if you drop out of school, then you're, you know, automatically given a, you know, a fundraising round from someone in San Francisco. I'm curious with you guys, what was the motivation for going all the way and pursuing a PhD? And maybe what were some of the like preconceived notions you guys had prior to, you know, joining your specific program?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I agree, you know, it's become a little unconventional to pursue like higher education, and I understand why it's so expensive. But I think for me, at least the appeal was in being able to really become an expert and, you know, hone this level of expertise that you suffer for, but also, you know, enjoying it and being able to help other people with it. Also, I think, you know, for me, the PhD really represented options, right? Like I came from an immigrant family where like I was very much conditioned to value higher education as a way to social mobility. And at the end of the day, while you might think of a PhD as someone who becomes a professor, like the truth is they can become, you know, an industry scientist, they can become a founder, they can become, you know, a policymaker. And so I really loved that versatility.
I think on my end, so my dad actually has a PhD as well. And so I was kind of, on track to do that from a young age. I think in undergrad, I just started seeing a lot of folks who had done PhDs who like built companies I really admired. Like I think a lot of folks can drop out of undergrad and like start a company. And I think there's a lot of companies that obviously have done super well that have done that. But I think when it comes down to like really building companies that can like change the world, like you think about companies like SpaceX or Google, like Impossible Foods, like a lot of these companies are started by folks like Elon Musk was in a PhD track, in a PhD program and dropped out. Like Google obviously was founded by two Stanford PhDs. Impossible Foods was founded by an MD PhD. Like a lot of these folks like have like advanced degrees behind their names because like a lot of these things are really difficult to build. And like a lot of the best companies in the world that really like make a difference are the ones that like really take a lot of like technical knowledge and expertise to like really make a profound difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good point. We live in this culture where I guess it's very unusual to see someone who is, you know, dropping out of school to, you know, seeing what kind of success they have, as opposed to someone like a PhD, where it's probably a lot more expected. It's like, if you're willing to have that kind of level of commitment and dedication to your craft, then something good has got to come out of it. So we kind of covered this already, but what was maybe some of the inspiration behind what specifically you're working on at your PhD? So David with sustainability and Chloe with neuroscience. So much in between you guys. I'm trying to like keep it together.
Yeah, so my PhD is actually in biomedical engineering, but I'm actually doing it in neuroscience as well, actually. And then my startup is in sustainability and clean tech.
Right.
But ultimately, like I'm really fascinated by like the human body, and I did my undergrad in mechanical engineering, and now my PhD is in BME. And so I'm really interested in like how do we like link like mechatronic systems like with like the body, and like we're learning more and more on how to do that, like everything from like neural interfaces to like wearables. Like a lot of these things are just starting to be commercialized, and I think there's a lot of potential there in between. And I think from a sustainability angle, like we're learning more and more, like how do we like build like more energy efficient systems? Like how do we like actually like focus more on renewables? Like, I think there's like, this is actually like a golden age, I think, for like diving deep into clean tech and med tech and biotech. And space tech as a lot of these like industries start to evolve.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, it's so hard to compete with David because he just does it all, right? Like I'm just in the neuroscience part of it, but I think that like sex differences research and the research that I do is just such an interesting gateway into precision medicine that really hasn't been unlocked yet, right? So we've seen precision medicine on the level of, you know, like the genome, and especially with, you know, oncology and cancer treatment, but I don't think we've really kind of harnessed the potential to treat men and women differently because they operate differently on the level of, you know, biological mechanisms. And so I'm really excited to, you know, help get that ball rolling and see that start to evolve in biotech as well.
Absolutely. By the way, I don't think I've ever seen a neuroscience PhD kind of talk about themselves like that. Like, yeah, I really am not working on anything important. Like, own it. You're working on a PhD in neuroscience. Like, come on now. It's not like me. I'm an advertising major. Like, there's really no merit to that whatsoever. So really own it. I want to get into Dorm Room Fun itself. So I'm curious, you know, what caught your eye about Dorm Room Fun? How'd you get introduced to it in the first place? And what role has that played in the midst of everything you guys are working on?
Yeah, so for me, you know, it really kind of ended up being kickstarted by COVID. Like I had no idea what venture was before COVID. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the lab was shut down and I couldn't do anything. And I was sitting at home and I was like, you know, might as well do some career development work. Like, what do I want to be when I grow up, essentially? And came across DRF and their Blueprint program, which is this really incredible, you know, masterclass that you do every week, and you have amazing speakers and a one-on-one mentor. And it's just an incredible program. So I did the program and was lucky enough to get in, and it was just really transformative. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, this is such an interesting way to be able to like influence society and impact innovation. And so that kind of really drew me in, and I ended up applying to become an investment partner and have been doing that since 2020. And it's just been a blast.
Awesome.
And on my end, I remember hearing about Dorm Room Fund a couple of times in undergrad. I think the first time I like really thought about Dorm Room Fund was my senior year. We did a case study on Love Pop, which are these like really cool like interactive cards that like pop up in 3D.
On Shark Tank, right? They got a deal with Kevin.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're really cool. Yeah.
They're really cool. So the founders actually came into this class that I was taking on like basically like business strategy. And like they talked about how their first check came from Dorm Room Fund. And this was like my senior year of college. And I was like, oh, wow, that's like super cool. I should look into them when I'm in grad school. And so after I got to my PhD, I looked into them and I got really excited about it, applied, and got picked to be an investment partner. So this is finishing up my third year in Dorm Room Fund right now.
Absolutely. And where do you guys think the two of those meet for you? Like, what kind of candidates are you guys looking for, or people to join the program? Is there anyone that when you're looking at maybe the application process that stands out?
So I guess specifically for the PhD track this summer, we're really focused on PhDs who like have launched their own startups and like are like looking for the next step. Like you have an MVP, like you have some customer traction, like you've done customer discovery. and like you have a sense for like where you're going. I think being a PhD, especially being PhD founders, like it can often be a very lonely experience. Like you can often get lost in your lab. Like you don't really have anyone to talk to. You can like commiserate on both like being like in the lab until 2 or 3 in the morning while also trying to like work on the startup at the same time. And so I think like having a room of peers where you can like really talk through problems you're working through, and then also get like really like top of the line, like industry leaders and like thought leaders who a lot of them have PhDs themselves, and getting their thoughts on like, how do you scale and reach the next step?
Yeah, to add on, I think we also tend to focus more towards, you know, mid to later stage PhDs, mainly because we know firsthand how stressful that first year is. It's just crazy. But we're very much, you know, industry agnostic and really hoping to, you know, get a lot of great founders. And we also are very flexible in terms of, you know, what the program is going to be like, in the sense that we really want to make sure it's a value add for the people participating. And so we're open to, you know, changing up the format a little bit or adjusting to whatever the cohort needs, because it's likely to be a small cohort, right? It's probably going to be about 10 people or less. And so we're really looking forward to taking a kind of, you know, very customized approach.
Awesome. Awesome. I feel like there's some first year PhDs listening right now who are probably, you know, shedding some tears thinking like, one, it's going to get more difficult, and two, I'm going to have to wait for dorm room fund. But no, there's probably, I'm guessing, some first year PhDs who have become part of the program. Am I right?
Last year, we actually didn't have any first year PhDs. But a lot of the folks who applied last year are reaching out to again because we think they were good applicants at the time. And I think as they just continue in their PhDs and continue on their ventures, I think that's a great opportunity for them to apply this year.
That's good. So I'm curious, just shifting to like the application process and stuff. What are some, you know, general tips and advice that you guys would recommend, for people applying who are interested, to, you know, heed and take?
Yeah, I think so. In terms of the actual application, like it's pretty short, right? There's nowhere where we ask for an essay or anything that's like 2,000 words. So I would say, you know, don't be afraid to get straight to the point. Like we're very familiar with startups and, you know, founder journeys, and that's part of what's so special about DRF. And so, you know, we're really excited to get to the meat of the company and the meat of what makes you so excited and what you think differentiates it from all the other solutions in the market right now. So I would just say, you know, you can get real with us really quickly.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'd plus one that I'd say just like, try to like point out, like, don't be humble. Like this is like an opportunity really for you to like point out like what makes you special and like, what do you think you would gain from this program? Like, we're really trying to like use this as like an inflection point. And so like, how would being part of this cohort of like other PhDs and like talking to these thought leaders like really like mark an inflection point for like your trajectory and your business? And so like really try to emphasize that and like where you guys like see the potential going from here.
Awesome. I have the I have the application open up on my computer right now. I'm looking at it. A couple of notes. One, it's an Airtable, which is sensational. I've, you know, applied to a bunch of internships, and some of these softwares, man, they're just so outdated. Shout out Disney and a couple of other companies. You know, they're not just using the best software, and it's really frustrating me. The other thing which I really love is they've got a plethora of options for race and ethnicity. So me being a Middle Eastern man, normally I don't see Middle Eastern, you know, on the application process, and it's confusing. I'm like, I'm not white. I mean, technically I'm Asian, but like I'm not Asian when you think about it in the first place. So I do like that Dorm Room Fund is very inclusive and has a very easy and seamless application process. Lastly, I mean, we're kind of heading toward the end. I'm curious for you guys, the people who end up being accepted, what do you think they can expect from the program and what makes it unique?
I mean, I think they can expect the unexpected. Like I think on paper, right? On paper, it's, you know, you get 2 sessions a week. You get to talk to a lot of amazing speakers from the VC perspective, from the founder perspective, from, you know, the PhD perspective, from the non-PhD perspective. Like we're really trying to diversify the exposure and to help kind of stimulate different viewpoints to come out of that and different ideas to come out of that. And so I would say, you know, expect to be stimulated and excited to, you know, hear new speakers, like we know that any time you spend on things outside of the lab is, you know, it needs to be valuable time and it needs to be important. So we're really looking to create that experience for the program this year.
I would 100% plus one that. I think the beauty of DRF is that like it's designed by your peers. So it was like designed by like PhDs and PhD founders, like for PhD founders. And so like we know the struggles you're going through. Like we know like what it's like to like be in your shoes. And so like we really try to tailor the program to like really not be like a huge add-on to your week. Like it's like a couple of hours a week. Like there's like not really like any homework or anything to like go back on. Like it's really just like a really cool opportunity to like ask like thoughtful questions to like industry leaders and like get their thoughts on like how do they think about PhDs, how do they think about deep tech. We try to be industry agnostic, and so like we're bringing in folks anything from like clean tech to space tech to biotech to robotics and like everything in between, and so like really try to bridge those gaps as well. And I think the last piece is just around the community, and like I said earlier, I think that being a PhD and a PhD founder especially, it can be a very lonely process. But like here you can meet with like really like a lot of your peers who might be building like in silos themselves. We can like really branch out there and see what they're building and support each other, like just like as you guys continue to reach those next milestones.
Awesome. I'm excited to see what kind of candidates come forth. You know, I've been a part of a couple of fellowship programs, not really comparison to PhD, but it seems like the most interesting, I guess, communities are the most diverse backgrounds and majors and all that stuff. There was one in particular I was a part of where you had like law students and you had journalism students and business students. And so I'm excited to kind of see the cream of the crop. Before we head out, you know, I wanted to ask some personal questions. I dove into your guys' background. Chloe, I saw that you were a bit of a food enthusiast, and David, a fencer. I'm curious, Chloe, starting with you, any food spots that you recommend? Maybe some people who are listening and applying can bring it to you as a bribe.
Oh my gosh, I would not accept any bribe.
She's winking.
For context, I live in New York City and like born and raised here. So I eat everything. I think, you know, it's so sad that COVID weeded out so many amazing places. It makes me really sad. But there's a really good place called Smack in the East Village, and they only do macaroni and cheese. And I love places that like do one thing and do it really well. I just think it's a special skill set. So I'll put that out there.
Just macaroni and cheese, nothing else.
I mean, they also do cookies, because could you have macaroni and cheese without cookies? But I feel like that's like, you know, they crack it out of the thing you get at the supermarket and they just throw it in the oven and they're like, here.
Wow. That's cool. That's a cool combo. Yeah. So if any of you guys are in New York, just go to the First Farm Capital office, bring some smack mac and cheese and ask for Chloe. David, what about you? Going from food to fencing, what's that experience been like? And yeah.
I haven't fenced actually in a couple of years now. I did it for 8 years, like from middle school and high school. And then I did varsity fencing in college. I miss it a lot. It's very hard to find fellow fencers, especially I fence. So there's actually three different types of weapons. There's foil, epee, and saber. I fence foil, which the Russians are actually really good at. the Germans and Italians and the French. Saber is really what America drives home every single year at the Olympics. So it's even harder to find like foil fencers in America, especially actually male foil fencers. Actually, it's far easier to find female foil fencers. So there's like all these like fencing breakdowns, but it's a really fun sport. So if you haven't tried it, I would highly recommend it.
Absolutely. It looks like it's one of those sports when you watch it, it's like, this looks easier than it probably actually is. You know, I'm just watching, I'm like, I could do this, you know, but I guarantee you it'd be challenging, but I definitely got to give it a go. That's why I asked about it in the first place. A little quick free fencing consultation. All right. Well, anyway, before I head out, do you guys have anything you want to plug? Any projects you want to share? Links, social, macaroni and cheese places?
I mean, I think like in terms of important info, the deadline for the application is May 23rd. So please apply before then. But, you know, mac and cheese bribes accepted anytime. but yeah, I think that's it on my end.
Yeah, awesome. I'd plus one that. And I would also say, like, again, if you don't get in this year, like really like please reapply in the future. Like Dorman Fund also has a number of different cool tracks. And so if you apply to any of the other ones as well, like there are really some great options here with some great speakers all around. And if you don't get into one of these tracks this summer, again, like there's always next summer you can apply, and there's plenty of ways to engage with Dorm Room Fund throughout the year, such as applying like to our website for funding. And we run also a bunch of other like programming and events throughout the year. So just like connect to the syllabus, which is Dorm Room Fund's newsletter, and like really just like stay tuned for like things coming out of Dorm Room Fund.
Yeah, the podcast. No, but I definitely agree. I think, you know, to your point, again, I keep trying to relate to these PhDs working on cool things with my own life experiences, but it seems like the, you know, things are blessings in a disguise. Like if you don't get in this year, definitely try again, because you're going to come back with so much more ammo and experience, and it'll just make you that much more interesting and prepared. You might partake in the program and be like, thank God I didn't get in last year. So yeah, just wanted to second you on that. Well, anyway, thank you guys so much for your time. This was so difficult to schedule, but definitely worth it. And I look forward to see what you guys do in the future.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. And we hope to catch you at AltDRF.
Okay, a little shade because I didn't get in this year. All righty, well, appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thanks, really appreciate it.
Thanks.